You this morning, saints. Have you learned to depend upon the Lord? We go through these trials, tribulations, misunderstandings, all these things, so we can know that we should not lean upon ourselves, but we should depend upon the Lord. Isn't it wonderful when a storm has passed and you look back and you see, well, I'm closer to the Lord now than I was before. And many times when the rough going comes, you find yourself, you are close to the Lord. Then when the easy times come and you begin to think about it, you'll be like, man, I wish I was in a difficult time again. I wish I wasn't working. Now I'm working. I'm not as close to the Lord as I was. I wish I was back in the hospital sometimes, you know. May the Lord bless you this morning. I would like to invite you to the book of Isaiah, chapter 49. I'd like to read one verse there, and then we'll go to the book of 2 Corinthians. Verse number 39, Isaiah chapter 49, verse number 13. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord has comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. From verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's Paul writing a letter to the believers here, and he begins to speak about something. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. That's why we read Isaiah 49 there. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And he writes a few more verses there, which we will skip, but you go home and read them sometime. But let's go to verse number 8 and 9, so you don't stand for long. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, for the songs that we sing, how they encourage us, Lord, how they take our experiences and express them in a certain way that we cannot put in normal language, Lord. Father, it has to be a song to express what we have gone through and what we are feeling. And we thank you for music, Lord, for it does something to us, Lord. And also, even your scripture is the same, for it takes the experiences of this great man, Lord, and presents it to us in such a way that we can see your hand, Lord, in the things that happened in the lives of this great man. And we can also see your hand when we go through similar things. So we are praying this morning that you grant us grace to look into these experiences, Lord, and that we may be encouraged through them, Lord, and that, Father, we may know where to turn when the times of trouble come. We commit this Sunday school to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we ask it. Amen. 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 So you may be seated, saints. You forgive me if I'm moving too fast because I've got too much to say and hardly enough time to do it in 30 minutes. So Paul is speaking here. Last week we were talking a little bit about depression and how David went through depression. And then we looked even at a Job, how he came to a place where he despaired of his life and what a difficult situation that a person can find themselves in. And really nothing is wrong medically, but you are just in a certain place where you are depressed, you know. And many people around you that maybe have not experienced it, they are surprised because they're like, there's nothing wrong with this person medically. How can they not just get off from their bed and go do the dishes in the kitchen or something like that? But depression is quite a thing. And I love scripture because you certainly find in the scriptures about depression, like where we have read here in the book of 2 Corinthians. And I love the way that Paul expresses himself in this particular place, because many times people are ashamed to speak about what they go through. You know, when COVID started, it was a big thing that if you mentioned that somebody died of COVID, people didn't want to say that because there was a lot of stigma around it, you know, like as if it means you have sinned so great that you get this disease. It certainly was like that with HIV when HIV came, that there's so much stigma even until today that if somebody's got HIV, they almost kind of hide away from society, you know, because of the stigma that is associated with the disease. And the same thing happens with anything that happens in the realm of the spiritual, the mental realm, the mind and your affections and things like that. People have such stigma to speak about these things that I've gone through depression, and they look at you as if you must have sinned greatly for you to go through that. But here is the great apostle Paul, who God used to bring us this foreign branch to be grafted back into the tree. God used this man so greatly that even the prophet has to say, I preach according to what Paul preached. So that's a great man of God. But he says in verse number 8, I would not have you ignorant. He was not painting a false picture of his life, you know, how rosy and nice and the sunshine and everything. You stand in a certain place and you curate it and take a picture and then say, take another, take another, take another. Then you go choose which one is showing the nice and rosy things and you put that on your status and reflect as if that is your life, you know. Paul wasn't guilty of that. When Paul went through difficult times, he said it to the saints. He wrote this letter to the saints at Corinth to say, I would not have you, brethren, ignorant of our troubles which we came to in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. Now, in those days, people would have understood what it is to be pressed under measure, because the main method of transport in those days to move great distances was through ships. They didn't have aeroplanes, cars, and all these things we have today. They would have a ship. And he's using terms here that people can really understand what Paul is saying when he says, I was pressed out of measure. He's using terms that are used in shipping, that when you load a ship so heavy that it cannot even move, that's where Paul is saying I was. That there was such a heavy load on me that I was pressed out of measure, I could not even move. And that's what depression can be like. You feel so heavy laden, you can't move. It literally has to take someone to take off the load from the ship so that it can rise in the water again and begin to move. And depression is like that. That you can come to a place where you're literally pressed so hard, you can't help yourself. You're pressed out of measure. And Paul is describing his experience in those terms, that I was pressed out of measure, above strength, in so much that we despaired even of life. The same experience that Job went through, this is the same experience Paul is going through. That this great apostle of God came to a place where he despaired even of life. I wonder what happened to Paul in Asia to bring him to such a place. Because Paul was in difficult times many a time. He was in shipwrecks. He was beaten with the Roman rods until you almost come to a point of death. And many things, he was in shipwrecks. Paul went through difficult circumstances. But in any of those circumstances, he says, nay, none of those things move me. Yet when something happened to him in Asia, he said, I was pressed out of measure to the point that I despaired of life itself. My. So, he's writing this letter to the Corinth, to the saints at Corinth, because he wanted from Asia to go to Corinth before he goes to Macedonia. So we are going to move a little bit fast here and go to verse number 15, if you can help me with those verses. And in this confidence, he's speaking about how God, when you come to him in simplicity and sincerity, he will deliver you. So he's taking his experience in Asia. You have to know the literary style of Paul, how he writes his letters, that he begins a story here and then it seems like he abandons it and he goes and speaks about other things and then he continues his story again. You know, that was his style of writing. So he's done that here a great deal in the book of Corinthians. So he speaks about his experience in verse 8 to 9 to 10. And then speaks about how God is a God of grace and comforts his people. But then he picks up the story again. And he says in verse 15, in this confidence I was minded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and you and of you to be brought on my way towards Judea. So he was in Asia, he wants to go to Macedonia, but he wanted to pass through Corinth, meet the saints there, then go to Macedonia and come back again to Corinth before he goes to Judea. But what happened is that in verse number 23, he says, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. So he wanted to spare the saints at Corinth when he discovered what condition he was in Asia, Whatever happened there, it put him into a certain condition which made him to change his plans. And he says, I won't go to Corinth anymore so that I can spare the believers there because he was going through something. For verse 24, not for that we have dominion over you, over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith you stand. But I determined within myself, that's the next chapter now, verse 1, chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. But I determined this with myself, that I would not come again to you in heaviness. So it sure is a serious thing to be under depression. It can affect you in such a way that even the people that you so much love and the people that really love you, you can begin to say, I want to spare this brother the trouble I'm going through. Maybe let me not go to visit with him and I'll just go home. And we have to be understanding people too when things like that happen, because it's a very delicate matter to deal with depression, because it's something that happens in the spiritual realm. So we'll go on there. Verse number 12 of chapter 2. So instead of going to Corinth on his way to Macedonia, Paul decides to go somewhere because he was hoping for something to happen there. Furthermore, when I came to Troas, so now instead of going to Corinth, he goes to this place called Troas. When I came to Troas, this was on his way to Macedonia, remember. When I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord. So he goes now to Troas to preach the gospel, and even God himself opens a door for Paul to preach in Troas. But in verse number 13, it says, I had no rest in my spirit. Because I found not Titus my brother, but taking my leave of them, I went from thence unto Macedonia. So he is in Asia and he is under great pressure because of what has happened to him. And he decides, I'm not going to burden the saints in Corinth. Let me go to Troas instead. Because there he was hoping for something to happen there. He wanted to meet his brother Titus. Because there was something about Titus that Paul knew, in my heaviness and in this state that I am, if I meet Titus, I think that things would turn out better for me. But when he gets to Troas, where he had desired to see Titus there, he finds him not there. And even though God himself has opened the door for this man to preach there, he can't, because he was so troubled in the spirit. That's what depression can do. You look at someone and wonder, but this brother loves to lead songs. He's always done it, in spirit and out of spirit. When you give him the guitar, he plays the guitar. But one day you go to Brother George and he's just sitting there. As you put 10 guitars around him, he doesn't pick any. Because he's troubled in the spirit. Depression can do that to a person. I've read of stories of ministers, preachers, pastors that go out of the field for 10 years. 10 years out. Because of depression, it is so debilitating that it can stop you from the normal, simple things that you used to do every day. There is Paul. God has opened the door for him. Paul, the great apostle, God himself opens the door for him, but he looks at that pulpit and he says, I can't do it. That's a serious, serious, serious thing. Anyway, let's go a little bit further. We'll skip a number of chapters there and go to chapter number 7. He's still talking of the same story. Even though he goes, he speaks about this, he brings doctrines and what. When you find time, you'll find it's all connected with this story. And he says in chapter number 7, verse number 5, now he leaves this Troas place and he goes now to Macedonia where he wanted. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest. So whatever trouble that Paul picked up in Asia, look how far it can take someone. He picked it up there, but he can't now go to where he wanted to Corinth, because of what happened in Asia. And he goes to Troas, he cannot preach there. And then all the way to Macedonia, he gets there. And these things took days and days and weeks to get to this place. And he comes to Macedonia and he says, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Imagine someone acknowledging that, saints, when I was there, that place, I was in such fear. People will look at you and say, this brother sure doesn't believe. How can you be in such fear? But there is the great apostle. Without were fightings, within were fears. But he mentions something now in verse number 6, which is the beginning of where things can turn. And things can turn for you and for me if we also come to that place. Amen. He says, nevertheless, God. There is always a nevertheless God. God is your eternal source of everything that you ever need. You know, in the book, in the Bible, it speaks in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, where it says, we were by nature children of wrath. That's what we were. And then it brings something which is similar to this. And it says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Yeah. So every time, whatever situation you can have, so long as you can put God in it, that's where the beginning of the change is there. And Paul says, but nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down. He's quoting Isaiah chapter 49, where we read that God comforts his children that are cast down. Literally, that are in depression, is that word, comforted us by the coming of Titus. This is what Paul wanted when he went to Troas, to meet Titus there, because there was something about Titus, and every single person should have someone like that in your life. Someone that can put his arm around you and say, don't worry, Brother Wilmore, I've got your back. What a wonderful thing to have someone like David and his Jonathan, Jesus and John. Look at Paul now and Titus. Titus wasn't a great mighty preacher, but there was something about Titus that he had for Paul, that when Titus met with Paul and Paul is overloaded with weight that he cannot move, but when Titus comes there, he comforted Paul. He comforted Paul. And it says that, nevertheless, God that, okay, yeah, you were right, sister. Nevertheless, God that comforted those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus. Yeah? And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoiced the more. So Paul is writing back to the Corinthians after he has met with Titus now in this place, Macedonia, because there was something that the Corinthians had done to Titus. When Titus came to the Corinthians, they comforted him. And the comfort that they imparted unto Titus, he came now to Macedonia and he meets Paul. And he comforted Paul with the same comfort that he was comforted with. Remember, we read that in chapter 1, verse 4. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble. So don't underestimate the working of the Lord in your brother and your sister. Because you are God's hands. I am his hands and his feet and his mouth. When God wants to reach out to you to comfort you, he's going to use me. He's going to use your sister to do that. But when you isolate yourself, because that's what depression does, you begin to isolate yourself. But the very beginning of your healing is when you go and meet with brothers and sisters. And one of them maybe went through the situation that you're going through. And God comforted the man in some other way. And now he's well equipped to comfort you with the same comfort that he was comforted with. I'm sure if I ask Sister Comfort today, what does the word comfort mean? Because I think that it's a great word, but many people don't even understand what comfort means. What is to comfort someone? Comfort is not a soft word. It's a very hard, rugged word. Because people, when you say comfort, in their mind, they build this picture of a nice, cozy bed with rose petals, silk sheets, and things like that, feather pillows, goose feather pillows, and things like that. But that's not what the word conveys. Comfort is actually two words in one. Come, as in come and stand by my side. Amen. That's what the word is conveying. Fort is literally fortitude, a place of strength. So how does God comfort us? He calls us to come stand by his side, where it is a place of protection, because he is greater than anything that this world can ever throw at you. So when you are comforting someone, when Titus came to comfort Paul, he was literally calling him to come stand by me, Paul. And he was infusing whatever he had received from the other believers into Paul, literally giving him strength to begin to move himself, to begin to take off the load that was in him. And it's a delicate matter. It's a very spiritual matter. No wonder Paul says, when you go to restore that a brother that is fallen, you consider yourself. Peradventure, you get stuck there too. Because you've got to get to the place where this person is, identify with what they are feeling, literally step into their shoes and begin to give them a way out. Literally, you are finding them in a forest where they are lost and they don't know the way out. And you are saying, come by my side. I know the way out. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? Amen. When we were lost, completely shackled by sin, never to be reconciled with God again. What did God do? He came from heaven and he came and he identified with us and he wore this skin like what you are wearing today and he became a man and he died the death of the cross to identify with you, to find you where you are and give you comfort and say, you come stand by my side. And I'll give you strength and I'll bring you back to the Father in heaven again. That is what comfort is. Did you know that, Sister Comfort? The Lord bless you. I believe you always knew that because you are very strong. And when I come to your house, I feel comforted. May God bless you. His names speak a lot. And we thank God for that. So that's why Paul was looking for Titus, because there was something in Titus. He knew how to get into that place where he can take the comfort that was given him and infuse it into another person so that that person can have hope and begin to come out of this place of depression. Amen. What a delicate business it is. Let us look into it next week by the grace of the Lord to find out how it is done. Amen. May the Lord bless you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your help, Lord. Many times we would go through things and we don't understand why. And then someone comes, Lord, and they can identify with us and something happens. And at the end of the day, we are smiling again. Father, we understand now in Scripture that it is your hand working when these things happen. So we thank you that in every troubles that we have, thou art our comfort. May you comfort, Lord, the sick this morning. Comfort those that are depressed. Comfort those, Lord, that are weary. May you do something and put a smile on their faces this morning. We commit the service into your hands. Please, Lord, bless us this morning. How we desire to stand before you and hear your word again. How we desire to respond, Lord, in worship. Father, it's our desire that we spend this whole day with you, Lord. We commit it to you. Bless the song leaders, Lord, as they lead us in song. Bless our pastor as he prepares, Lord, and waits on you. Father, may you use him this morning to bring a word unto your people. And even the business that we have at the end of the day today, Lord, it's our desire that your wisdom will prevail through your children. Be merciful and grant us this grace in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.